In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. When you came for a Pentecostal preaching, I have to disappoint you. I'll speak about the Holy Spirit, but it's not really a Pentecostal preaching. I will speak about this important question. In the past, we had an evangelical broadcasting program called God Changes People. I will speak about the question, is this really like this? And when God is changing people, how does he do that? And I do it with the story from the Old Testament. I like the stories in the Old Testament, because they so beautifully illustrate all the things we learn in the New Testament. And I will go back to the story of Israel in Egypt. Jacob ever, with his family, ever went to Egypt because there was no food in their region where they lived. And there was only bread in Egypt. Moreover, his son, Joseph, was a sub-king, and he invited them to come. So they lived there in the province of Goshen in Egypt. They lived there 430 years. And in that time they multiplied greatly. So many people came that Pharaoh, the king, feared the Israelites. For it might be that the Israelites would conquer the country. So he tried to keep his power and to break the power of Israel. He did it in two ways. The first thing was he made them to slaves. They had to work very hard. They had no freedom anymore. And in this way, he tried to break them. And when this was not enough, he took the measurement, all the boys that are born have to be thrown in the Nile, the river Nile. And at that moment, the Israelites started to call upon the Lord. And God always gives answer. He gave answer. He sent Moses and Aaron to the Pharaoh with the message, let my people go. But Pharaoh refused. After that, there were 10 disasters in Egypt given by God. The meaning of it was to break the gods of Egypt. We know all these 10 plagues that came in Egypt. I will send a part from Exodus to illustrate that. Exodus 12, verse 3. Exodus 12, verse 3, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep of the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Verse 21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on the top end and both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. Exodus 14. When the people left Egypt, but Pharaoh persecuted them. So they were in danger. Verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And we know that God split the sea so that the Israelites could cross over, but the Egyptians died. Then Moses song, the Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is rightly exalted. This is Exodus 15. For he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him, my father's God and I will exalt him. The Israelites were delivered by the blood of the lamb. That's the only power. God took his people from Egypt. He brought them through the sea in the desert. And then they are there at the shore of the sea. And they are free. When you realize what God did in Egypt, how he struggled against the gods of Egypt, and what he did to bring out his people to the desert, that is awesome. But they were not in the promised land, they were at the shore of the sea. They are free. For the first time, they were completely safe. But they didn't have any idea what was the meaning of that. For all of their life they were slaves. All of their life they were under the power of a mighty one. They were slaves. And you don't lose that by going through the Dead Sea. They still were like slaves. But nobody exerted power upon them. But they had the habitudes of slaves. They were not brought immediately in the promised land, but first in the desert. For everything that bound them to Egypt, they had to get rid of it. everything that has to do with Egypt has to be disappear. And they had to learn what it means to be free. Free to serve me. In this way they went into the desert. The greatest distance, the distance between Egypt and Israel is about 11 days. 11 days to travel. But it became 40 years. They needed 40 years until the generation of slaves died and new people rose up who were hardened by the life in the desert and were able to enter the promised land. That is the way of Israel. And step by step they went with God. And it was tiresome way. For the desert is a difficult place. This story is my story, but also your story. We all started in the same way. Actually, we all were born in Egypt under the power of sin and darkness. We all were slaves of the evil one who was ruling over us. And in our misery, we called out to God, and God sent his Son. And God delivered us from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. For the blood of the Lamb is the only thing to get free. God brought us through the sea, through the water of the death, in the desert. And we stand at the shore of the sea and we are free. But we have no idea about what does it mean. We doesn't understand what it is to live in freedom after a life that we were in the darkness under the power of the devil. But we are the same people. And we have to go a way through the desert until we are able to enter the promised land. It will be a short way. We are free. But I have no idea what is the meaning of it. I give an example. When our first child was born, within a moment I was father. And I knew something about that, to be a father. I saw good examples and bad examples of fathers. What was the meaning to be a father? I had no idea. I think many fathers of here, sitting here, will agree with that. It took time to realize what it means to have responsibility for a family, to bring up children. So I was a father, but I became a father actually in the practice of my life with all the experience I went through in my life. I had to invest every time again. And every time I had to choose. And this shaped me to a father like I am now. When God made us free, he knows that we are still bound to our own life. He will us take from there and change us to other people. God delivered us from Egypt. But I gave you everything you know to change. And that is quite a lot. and you have to go away through the desert. And that way is not an easy way. The Bible says the desert is a place of snakes and scorpions, but there is heat during the day and cold during the night. But we have to go through that to reach the promised land. God says, I give you everything you need. He gave me new life. I become a child of God. That's quite a lot. But when I'm there at the shore of the sea, I'm like a baby. The potential of to be somebody is in me, but it has to be developed. When I stay there at the shore of the sea, I will also be a baby. Our life is not yet changed then. These are the people who stay at the shore of the sea. They don't get further into the desert. But he gave me a life, so I have to do something with it. He gave his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit we think of today especially. In the Old Testament, Moses is the most beautiful example of the Holy Spirit. Moses who pleads for the people, who leads the people, who gives the example to the, who told them to do what who told the people what they had to do. What would we be without the Holy Spirit and without giving him space in my life so that he can work with me? Everything dependent upon the choices I make. God says, I give you everything you need. But you have to leave the shore of the sea and go into the desert, and I go with you. I gave you my spirit. The best example of the Holy Spirit is Moses. The Spirit makes me a part of the people of God. All these Israelites were families, but they were not one people. In the desert they became one people of God. And God makes us also one people, a part of his church. He makes us to be one. He makes us a part of the body of Christ. Only together we can survive. We need each other. We need each other to encourage, to correct, to help, to learn. We need the church. Without that, we will die in the desert. We are one people, my people, God is saying. That is the church. But walking at the shore, when we think we have to stay alone, we cannot join to the other people, then everything remains the same. God brings us at the Sinai. He wants to meet us. He teaches us to live with him. And like the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecostal day, and the people were connected with God, in the same way we are connected with God by the Holy Spirit. When the people were leaving Egypt, it was not an agricultural nation anymore. They didn't know how to work. But in the Sinai, they became a people of God. Like we became a people of God at the Pentecostal day by the Holy Spirit. That's a fantastic event. In that way, we are connected with God and we are one nation. And He lives in us. He gave us my word, the Bible, His word. The Bible explains who God is. The more we know God, the more we know ourselves. If we don't know ourselves, we don't know God. And when we learn more from the Word, we have a better understanding who is God. The Torah was always the center of the life of the Israelites. They cannot live without it. Here is our tabernacle, the place to come together. It was the place where Israel meted to meet God. There was the Shekinah. The presence of God was above the tabernacle. And when they came there, they came with offering and with praise. There were priests and God Himself was there. The tabernacle was the most central place for the whole nation. And when the Israelites came together and offered there, showed their gratitude, they saw the glory of God, so to say. So, we made together every Sunday. This is our tabernacle. Not this building, but like we are together here. Here we may meet God. We may see something of the greatness of God. Here we may bring our worship, our praise, our gratitude. Here we may be together for people of God. That was the tabernacle who always traveled with the people. And you know all the things God has given us, we cannot without it. And God is longing that every time we are together, that He is seeing His family together and it makes Him happy. God likes it when we bring praise and exaltation to Him. We may be so close to Him. And that's why it's so important that we are together in the tabernacle. And we have great means, so even at home we can follow the meeting at a distance. It's great that we can use it when it's necessary, but it's not the same as coming together in the tabernacle. Here we meet God together. And also in my personal God, I can meet God. I know that. But it is so great that we can do that together. And that we can form, can shape the unity as the body of Christ on earth. But we have to work at it. We cannot sit just watching. But we have to participate. Together we participate to God. He gave us manna to the people. How the people could survive in the desert without manna? Manna is the bread from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the bread that comes from heaven. I am the food you need every day. I am there always. And when you feed yourself with me, you will become like me. We cannot survive when we eat one time a month or one time a week a little manna. No, we have to feed ourselves. And we have to be more and more like Him. That's when we eat manna every day. Without that, it's not possible to survive in the desert. He gives us water from the rock. Water is also an image of the Word of God in the Bible. To purify us, to refresh us. God gives it all to us. Water from the rock. There is the cloud and the cloud of heaven. The column. In this way God leads us through the desert. By the Shekinah, by the presence of God, He leads us through the desert. The desert is the place that is described in the Bible as a place with snakes and scorpions, heat during the day, coldness at night. And it did not interest me when I was young. In my youth, I was often at the beach. Everybody in our village was Christian. It was a life without sorrow. But when I became older, I met with the snakes. I discovered that the world is a place where during the day there's heatness and during the night it's cold. And I have to had to experience what is the meaning of that, reading His Word. Paul said that the time of now is not to compare with the glory that is waiting for us. We are on our way to the promised land, to the glory that is waiting for us. How a future. But then we don't have to stay where we are. We have to go further. God says you have to change to make progress. I give you everything you need, but you have to go. You have to do, to act. We all are in that process. He gives us the weapon of prayer. One time, Amalek, the enemy of Israel, came in the desert. And Amalek always is attacking the weak points. Amalek came and was fighting against the people of Israel. Moses sent Joshua to fight against Amalek. And Moses went at the mountain to pray. And he lifted his rod, his stick, over the people of Israel. And then, at that moment, Israel was winning. But when he lowered the rod, the stick, Israel was losing. When we come together to pray, in what way? That is the weapon of God. Moses used it to defeat Amalek. Amalek always attacks our weak places, our weak spots. And our weapon is the prayer. That way that we were together to pray here, there was a great power in it. Do you know, you have so many possibilities to be together and to pray. Let us use the weapon that God has given us, for the enemy doesn't rest. So go on praying in your personal life, but also as the Church of God. when Moses lifted his rod and he was praying, that was the weapon why they won. We have a wonderful future. But my question is, where are we standing? I think sometimes many Christians are still at the shore of the sea. They are converted, they have been baptized, and they say, now I'm there. I wait for the things that will come, but my own life is just going on. But when you stay there at the shore of the sea, then finally Egypt will conquer you again. You are too close to Egypt. It's a dangerous place to remain there. You have to take distance from your former life. Take distance from everything that binds you to the realm of the darkness. You can choose lonely through the desert. And you can say, I can find my way alone. I don't need a church. I can do it alone. But when you do that, the problems are so great that you will die in the desert. There are oases in the desert. There you can find rest. Elim with the 70 palms and the water there. A nice place to rest for the people. And after that to go on. But many people remained in the oasis. They stayed there. The developments went on, but we find a comfortable place in the oasis. And we say, let us stay here. It is very good. There are so many dangers in the desert. And also for Israel, it was very difficult. There's so much to say about that travel of Israel through the desert. The people were mocking against Moses. They revolted against Moses. They revolted against God. And they said often, where is God? And it's so easy to mock. When things are against us, and then we say, where is God? How he can admit that I am ill? That things are happening that are not nice. In the old translation, there was a special word for that. The people were only watching their present situations. And they mocked against God. It's so easy for us to do that when things are going in a different way than we wish. But God said, I gave you everything, and when you use the things I gave you in your life, you'll see you will become an other man. Yes, in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit, there comes a new development and you will become like I am. How great is God? How great are his provisions? It's all for us. But realize, we started as a baby. Paul says, when you only have milk after so many years, that there's something wrong. Like a baby who didn't grow after 3 months, then the mother is going to the doctor. And God watches us all. And he says, what's going on? You are all still babies. But God wants us to become people, full-grown people. The more Egypt is still in my heart, the less God can do. We have to get rid things before God can give His complete blessing to us. This is our challenge. I encourage you to go that journey, to reach out to the more things God will give to you. He doesn't change me. He gives me everything I need, but we change by the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And where do you stand? I think, like we are sitting here, that we all are going to these stages, that we all came free from the power of darkness. And when it is still not the case, pray God to release you from the powers of darkness in your life. But let us say that we all have reached the shore of the shelf sea. And I will ask you to close your eyes. Let us take a couple of minutes to be honest to God where you are in the desert. Are you still at the shore of the sea? Are you dwelling alone, lonely in the desert? In the desert? Did you stay in an oasis? Did you come apart from the people, from the other people? There are so many possibilities in the desert. Be honest to God where you are. He knows it. You cannot make it more beautiful than you are. Ask Him to show you what are the thresholds that you cannot grow. Pray to Him. Let us take steps on the road to the promised land. Think about it a couple of minutes. Show me what are my obstacles. Help me to remove them.